the Agile brand.
Welcome to Season 6 of The Agile Brand, where we discuss marketing technology and customer experience trends, insights, and ideas with enterprise and technology platform leaders. We focus on the people, processes, data, and platforms that make brands successful, scalable, customer-focused, and sustainable. This is what makes an Agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advising Fortune 1000 brands on MarTech, marketing operations, and CX, best-selling author and speaker. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full-stack technology services, talent services, and real-world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that my latest book, Priority is Action, 7 Principles for Better Strategies, Decisions, and Outcomes, is now available. In it, I give ideas and insights for leaders and teams that need to make meaningful progress on their priorities. After all, our priorities are what we do, not what we say we'd like to do. You can find Priority is Action on Amazon or learn more on my website, gregkilstrom.com. Now let's get on to the show. Today, we're diving deep into the role of brands in today's socially conscious market. We'll explore the intricacies of engaging with social issues, navigating the challenges of fragmented audiences, and the importance of a brand crafting and owning its narrative. These discussions are crucial for understanding how major brands approach their public affairs strategy in a world where every action and policy is scrutinized. To help me discuss these topics, I'd like to welcome Taylor Bennett, Global Head of Public Affairs at DoorDash. Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me. Excited to dive in.
Yeah. Looking forward to talking about this with you. Why don't we get started, though, with you sharing a little bit about your role at DoorDash and, you know, just how it intersects with these issues that I mentioned.
Yeah. So I am the global head of public affairs here, heading into 4 years. And my world really revolves around social and policy issue engagement. You know, that starts with telling the DoorDash story and really demonstrating the positive impact we're having in communities to all sides of our marketplace, including policymakers and regulators. So really responsible for elevating our social impact work, all the good things we're doing in communities, showcasing leadership around trust and safety issues. And the other side of that, crisis and issues management. So the reactive and the rapid response work we'll talk through, I'm sure. And as I mentioned, policymakers, regulators, you know, really ensuring they hear from us and recognize the role we play in society, the importance that DoorDash offers to consumers, to merchants, et cetera. And, you know, I've been doing this for over 20 years now. And so I've learned a lot about elevating brands and telling stories and along the way, avoiding various social issues or policy issues. And at the same time, you know, leveraging others to really advance a narrative. So cover quite a bit, quite a lot here. And, you know, a lot of it is hypersensitive and can offer a lot of pitfalls and risk, but many others, real opportunities to tell a positive story and grow a brand.
Great. Well, yeah, let's dive in here. And, you know, let's get started by talking about engaging audiences on social issues. So, you know, when social issues are more prominent than ever, brands can play a significant role in these conversations. So, you know, let's discuss a little bit how brands can identify the right moments to engage their audiences on these matters. And the considerations also involved in deciding when it may not be the best time to get involved. So from your perspective then, you know, how should brands assess the right time to engage with their audiences on social issues? And, you know, what factors should they consider to avoid a misstep?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, knowing when to engage is just as important as knowing when not to engage. The recent, I think, interesting stat, the recent Roe versus Wade decision, a poll at that time found that less than 10% of companies actually publicly commented on it, which I think speaks volumes. It shows that, you know, there's real risk and there are issues that companies just should avoid and want to avoid. And it was okay to avoid, you know, and I think that is something that has really shifted over time. It, you know, this is an evolving topic. Policy and social issues is something that, you know, historically, you know, prudent strategy was to stay out of the fray, not comment, not get into these things as a company. You know, but there have been cultural, contextual shifts. You know, corporate engagement has changed over the years. And I think now you're seeing, you know, silence is speech. Inaction carries just as much risk as taking a stance. And so it's more important than ever for companies to think about and understand when and how they engage in these issues. You know, and you hear poll after poll, you know, especially on, you know, nowadays ESG or DEI, where consumers have, you know, reactions to these issues where they don't want to hear from companies anymore. They don't think that CEOs should have public perspectives on some of these things. And so, you know, you oftentimes get mixed signals, but you also want to be able to show value as a company, really speak to your employees, and be part of the conversation where it's relevant. And so not getting caught on your back foot, not scrambling to react or to shape up the perspectives can be really important. Three questions that I always ask myself and we here at DoorDash is, you know, does the issue threaten your business? Does it link back to your values? If you're a mission-driven company, does it support that mission? And then lastly, you know, can you actually make an impact for your business? Does your footprint, does it allow you to actually participate in that conversation, participate in advocacy and be helpful? And so, you know, asking those questions can really help steer a company in the right direction.
Yeah. And I definitely hear you with there's kind of competing signals of, you know, the silence and, you know, silence speaking volume sometimes as well as it's almost paradoxical, like the expectation mm-hmm. that CEOs have to have a perspective. You know, it's most of the time those two things can't coexist. So, you know, in your experience, Where are the, you know, are there clear indicators? I mean, it sounds a bit muddy, but, you know, are there clear indicators or processes, you know, that kind of help determine when a brand should or shouldn't engage in some of these discussions?
Yeah. You know, we at DoorDash, we have something called the DoorDash Compass, and it was really built on our mission to help local communities. And it's a framework. It's a framework that allows us to figure out how and when we want to engage on social or policy issues. You know, and it's crafted, and there's a visual. I wish I could share it with you, but it's literally a compass. And on that compass, it's promote progress and fairness. And then another side of it is to protect against, you know, bias or exclusion of our audiences. And so, you know, it is a very kind of formal process and structure that we lean on to help us determine that. And, you know, I would encourage other brands to sort of create their own compass. Think about what is it that is important in their workplace culture? What is it that they might want to take a proactive position around? You know, and that said, policy issues are very different than social issues, where as a business, you may want to advocate for policy that helps your business thrive or helps your company grow, whereas social issues may be more aligned around, you know, your employee base or your corporate values. And so really understanding what those are, where they align, and how you want to prioritize is going to be key. And so, you know, we take a very thoughtful and systematic approach to those policy issues and to the social issues. And it's consistent, making sure that we are leaning on that compass or having internal conversations and really identifying, you know, which moments in time we want to react to. And then, you know, on the broader spectrum, how we really want to be consistent with some of those issues over time. So we start to build a brand around it.
Yeah. And to add even more complexity onto this, let's talk about not everybody agrees with, you know, every point on every issue. So, you know, we've got fragmented audiences on, you know, on top of the expectation of either a response or none, as it were. So, you know, large brands such as DoorDash, you know, often face the challenge of addressing these diverse audience segments. So let's talk a little bit about strategies for managing these fragmented audiences. So, you know, how can a brand like DoorDash navigate these types of complexities as well, you know, when fragmented audiences have differing views on, you know, these different social or policy issues?
Sure. This is particularly relevant for DoorDash. We are a three-sided marketplace. So we have consumers, we have merchants, and we have the delivery workers, the Dashers, we call them. And, you know, Dashers care about making money. They care about the platform experience. Customers want affordability and selection. Merchants want to grow their business. They want to be able to reach more consumers. And then you have the general public who may not care about any of these things and have very different priorities. And so navigating each one of those audiences is really critically important when it comes to the issues that you're going to advocate for. which social issues you're going to engage around. And I would say for you know, social issues in particular, again, coming back to your corporate values, coming back to your mission, what's important for you as a company, what's important to your employee base. And then on policy issues, you can advocate for certain things that may be good for one audience, but not for another, if it's helpful and it provides benefit, but being mindful that there are negative implications oftentimes or trade-offs that you have to consider when it does come to policy issue advocacy. You know, for instance, alcohol delivery on the platform, it's good for merchants. It allows them to increase basket size and make more money by selling more to consumers. It helps Dashers make more money because those are traditionally higher value orders. But then you might have an issue like worker classification, for instance, where flexibility is really important for workers. So knowing what those issues are and really getting a clear understanding of the impact, the implications of those issues is going to be important when you think about your fragmented audience. And so, you know, leaning into the issue areas where you align and being proactive can be really helpful when you want to reach your audiences and be able to tell a story that is relevant to them and that builds goodwill with those audiences.
You know, as we're talking about complex issues and fragmented audiences and even the best plans and clearest communication strategies, all that, you know, sometimes things don't go as planned, right? Or, you know, whatever the, you know, the specifics may be. So, you know, what would you recommend that a brand do to address situations and mitigate any negative impacts when, you know, policy doesn't go as planed?
Yeah, it's a great question, a tough question for
course.
You know, and luckily we've got the benefit of history to help teach us and guide us. If you'll remember Nike sponsorship years back, I think 2018, Colin Kaepernick, and the resulting controversy of all of that. You know, I think they saw something like a 3% dip in stock, yeah. Something, you know, $4 billion in lost value, I believe it was at the time. And so there's real business and reputational impact that comes with such crises, if you will, you know, making the wrong call, engaging in the wrong issue. It can really have a tremendous impact on the business and on your reputation. But months later, Nike was able to rebound, their stock came back, and they were actually seen as a really admirable company who took a stance on an issue that was important to them. And it was relevant, it aligned, and it was built back to their mission and values. And so it, you know, they were able to come back from that even stronger. Fast forward, you know, five some years later, in the Bud Light controversy with their sponsorship had a very different outcome. And I think you see brands really taking pause and noticing that. And so, you know, what were the differences there and how could they or other brands think about it more deeply and think about some of those missteps and some of the, you know, the misaligned engagement. And so, you know, should you find yourself in that position, I think it's always important to monitor, to really understand the media landscape, the social landscape. What was the impact? You know, what was the volume? Are you continuing to see backlash? Or with time, will you move through the cycle and you'll be one and done? And, you know, we are all so attention span limited that oftentimes these things can come and go very quickly, but some will stick. And so making sure you're monitoring and analyzing, really having an understanding of the moment and whether you should engage or let it pass. You know, and when you do, more often than not, engaging is going to be the right way to go. You know, being transparent, acknowledging the mistake, acknowledging the issue, acknowledging the misstep, and communicating about it honestly and sincerely, being genuine, taking responsibility if something didn't go as planned. You know, don't get cute. Don't try to deflect. You know, I think it's much more appreciated to be transparent about something and to own it than try to pass blame or, you know, get through it in a way that is a little bit less sincere. So, you know, being able to monitor and then react in real time is going to be key for brands who find themselves in that position.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue to the last thing I wanted to explore here, which is really, you know, how brands can own their narrative. I mean, again, you know, nothing is ever 100% smooth as much as we plan for it. But, you know, brands do have the opportunity to define, you know, where they stand when they contribute and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And so I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, establishing perspectives and, you know, being proactive and really, again, owning that narrative. Mm-hmm. So how do you look at this? You know, how important is this, being proactive, defining stances on social issues, and, you know, how do you look at strategies that can be employed to ensure that the brand narrative is really owned effectively?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting today, you know, as we talked about the sort of evolution of these issues and how companies engage, you know, it's important for brands to know what their positions are on these issues and know what their stances are. And that's the first step. You know, what do they care about? What does matter to their employees that aligns back to their mission, et cetera? That's the first step. And then really understanding, how do you want to communicate about that? What are the channels? What are the forums? You know, companies benefit when consumers know who you are and what you stand for. I think it was Edelman's Trust Barometer. Consumers trust brands more than government these days. And so being able to build a brand, have a narrative that really aligns with their values is important. And so it is, I think it is important to own your story, to be able to articulate it often and consistently. Public affairs teams like mine and comms teams can help with this. We have a social impact comms function that I oversee and a policy comms function. And so we're thinking about these issues deeply every day. And we're elevating the work we're doing in communities, whether it's around Project Dash, our food access work, whether it's around policy issues like alcohol delivery or, you know, maintaining flexibility for workers. And so we're constantly mining internally for stories and data to help bring those to life and then guide those to the right audiences. And again, with this fragmented audience base we have, sometimes it's really important that we get in front of those policymakers or regulators. Other times it's important that consumers know we're an affordable platform. And so leveraging the tools you do have and using your own channels. I think oftentimes we try to bank shot off an earned story or get something placed via media, which is important. It carries weight, but we have so many different tools at our disposal, whether it's social or paid advertising, our blogs, et cetera, LinkedIn. And so how do we deploy those more to own our story more and get it in front of the right audiences at the right times where they are? And so, you know, the narrative development is really critically important. It's that sort of step two after you figure out, you know, what are the issues, social or policy or otherwise, that are important to your brand and important to your employees. And then, you know, with all good comms work, having others help tell the story is going to be important. So, you know, who are the third parties? Who are the surrogates out there that can echo what you're saying and help bring it to life through their channels, but also add some credibility and say, yeah, this brand does stand for it and we believe and trust them.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think you're definitely a good person to ask this next question too. You know, you mentioned DoorDash being a three-sided marketplace that's a little more complex than other brands may be dealing with as well. But, you know, what advice would you have on doing just, you know, what you've been describing, you know, developing mm-hmm. a clear perspective, whatever that perspective is, but, mm-hmm. you know, developing the clear perspective and communicating it, you know, because this is not just communicated externally, but it's also internally, right? So, you know, exactly. What advice would you have there?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, as I mentioned earlier, you know, create your own brand compass, and whether it's a compass or guidelines or principles, but, you know, really convening internal stakeholders and asking the question, you know, what do we believe in as a company? What are our values? And then what are some of the things that we care about? What are the issues that we want to get behind and advocate for, you know, immigrant reform or gun control or food access and insecurity, you know, the things that matter to you, and really having honest conversations about it. You know, and brands should give themselves permission to evolve. You know, as we talked about, this is a very fluid topic, and context of cultural and political climates shift. And so being flexible with your positions, knowing that society's expectations may change in a year or two, and you should as well as a brand. That doesn't mean you need to keep flip-flopping on the issues, but being able to evolve as the priorities shift, as the acuteness of it changes, really important to add some flexibility there. And then, you know, when it's communicating those positions, again, being authentic about it, communicating in a voice that is going to resonate with your audiences, with those you are trying to reach. And, you know, again, if it's workers, it's a very different voice than if it's merchants who, you know, really care about growing their business and thriving on our platform versus regulators who, you know, can have a real impact on our business and the longevity of our own business. And so finding the right channels, finding the right voice to do so. And then you're absolutely right about the internal communication. You know, the employees are those who matter most in this case, and making sure that our positions align with our employee base and that we are articulating why we've done something or why we have not engaged on an issue is really critically important. And then, you know, aside from being in a position of crisis where you're cleaning up a mess, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to really be bold and creative about how you're telling that story. You know, there could be interesting ways to show leadership, to engage audiences in thoughtful ways, you know, that help you stand out. And if you're really passionate about a particular issue, if you're a leader on something, you know, show leadership on it and do it in a way that that could really resonate with audiences and, you know, move the needle and be really, really impactful. So the narrative development, the policy and issue, social issue alignment, all steps to get to that outward and internal communication.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. Well, Taylor, thanks so much for joining. I've got one last question before we wrap up here, and probably building on what you've shared already, but things continue to evolve and consumers as well as others' relationship to brands and what they're kind of looking for from brands continues to evolve. But, you know, how do you envision this, whether it's a continuum, whether, you know, whether you see some trends popping up as well, you know, how do you envision the future of brand engagement with social issues? And, you know, what would you recommend that companies keep in mind to maintain this, you know, the image that they want in the months ahead?
Yeah, absolutely. And first of all, just thanks for having me. This has been great. Really enjoyed the conversation and excited to dig in further again with you. But no, to answer your question, you know, I think we're going to see, you know, cultural shifts will continue to change and social issues will evolve, as I was just mentioning. And so being nimble and fluid and being able to evolve alongside is important. But I think we're going to see a lot more investment in social impact, and companies are recognizing and have recognized, but I think we'll continue to see this trend where, you know, the storytelling around community impact, building programs that are important to these issues that help advocate around policy, and giving brands, you know, momentum and opportunities to tell those stories in new ways is something I think we're going to continue to see, just more energy and excitement around that social impact storytelling. You know, and then CSR efforts, as I mentioned, can sometimes be a lightning rod or something that brands steer clear of. But, you know, I think there's going to be a greater recognition that companies need to communicate about these efforts more effectively, not necessarily more or more outwardly, but more effectively, being able to engage diverse stakeholders, maintain transparency in how they're talking about their brands is really important. Consumers demand it. We have more and more fragmented audiences who get their news and information from new and different places every day. And so the expectation is that we will leverage those channels and we will be present. And so the effectiveness in how we communicate, I think, will increase. You know, Axios just saw this, I think it was yesterday or today, Shards of Glass, they called it, and sort of this fragmented audience where, you know, there's a dozen different places that they've identified and sort of who these audiences are and who these consumers are. But, you know, where they get the news, whether it's TikTok or, you know, cable and newspapers or, you know, their own sort of finite worlds within their industry outlets. But it's this world we live in now where it's going to be incredibly important to identify those audiences and leverage the channels that we have. And so, you know, just continuing fragmentation, continuing limited attention spans and the expectations that businesses will engage in each and every one of those moments and really be effective at communicating. And, you know, no small job for communicators, but I think very, very exciting future for us all.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, and thank you so much for sharing all these insights. Again, I'd like to thank Taylor Bennett, Global Head of Public Affairs at DoorDash, for joining the show. You can learn more about Taylor and DoorDash by following the links in the show notes. Thanks again for listening to The Agile Brand, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GregKilstrom.com. While you're there, check out my series of best-selling Agile Brand Guides, covering a wide variety of marketing technology topics, or you can search for Greg Kilstrom on Amazon. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
The Agile Brand.